Okay, so tonight's shiur is titled Stories from the Gemara, Abandoning Wives to Learn. And the title of the shiur is related to stories in the Gemara and Ksubos about various Talmidei Chacham who left their wives to go learn Torah. It's very interesting, fascinating stories, I think. So we'll look into those stories, a couple of them tonight, and try to analyze what the stories are trying to teach us about how a man is supposed to treat his wife and what's appropriate in terms of leaving home to learn. So if you look in the Rambam, we'll start with the Rambam just to get an overview of some of the key components to the area, and then we'll go into the stories. So the Rambam is Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yadalad Halacha Aleph, it's source number one, and it's referring to a man's obligation to his wife, to be intimate with his wife. So look in the Halacha Aleph. Ona ha'amura v'tora, l'chol ish v'ish k'fi kocho u'chfi mulachto. So a man's obligated to be intimate with his wife, but it's based on the man's strength, the husband's strength, and what he does for a living. So Ketzad, the Rambam's going to explain. This is based on the Mishnah and the Gemara in Ksubos. Ketzad, Bnei Adam habriim, harachim, v'hanugim, she'en lahem malacha, shemechashelas kochon, ela ochlin v'shosin v'yoshim v'atein, onasan v'cholayla. So a man who's not really working, who's got an easy life, wealthy, soft, always involved in things that they want to do, leisure. So that type of man, his chiyuv, his obligation is every night to his wife, to be intimate with his wife every night. Hapoalin, those who work, kigona chayotin, va'organ, va'bonim, uchiyotze v'hen. So anybody who has a regular job, who's a tailor or a weaver or is a construction worker, im haisa b'lachtan b'ir onasan pa'amim b'shavis. So, pa'amim b'shavis. So if the guy works in the city, it's twice a week to his wife, he's obligated. But if he's working in another city, then he's only obligated to be with his wife, intimate with his wife, once a week. The donkey drivers, so they were only obligated to be with their wives once a week. The camel drivers, once every 30 days. And the seamen, those who go out to sea, the sailors, so they were obligated to be with their wife once every 6 months. Talmidei Chachamim, onasan pam achas b'shabbos, and a Talmid Chacham, a learned man, is obligated to his wife once a week. Mivnesha Talmud Torah meitish kochan, because Talmud Torah is something that weakens a person. V'derech Talmidei Chachamim l'shamesh mitasan malel shabbos alel shabbos. So a Talmid Chacham is involved in intimacy with his wife once a week, and it's usually on Shabbos, on the night of Shabbos. So the Rambam's just teaching us in this first halacha over here that there's various categories of the obligation of Ona. It's not objective, but it's based on what a man does. If a man has a tough job, or if he has a job that takes him far away, he's less obligated to his wife to be with her intimately. But if he's closer, or if he doesn't work, so then he's obligated more frequently, and a Talmud Chacham, it's once a week, usually on Shabbos itself. So now let's look at Halacha Beis. Yesh le'isha la'akev al baila shlo yetze l'schora el l'makom karov shlo yimna mo'nasa v'lo yatze el b'rishusa. So a woman can tell her husband, I don't want you to go do business far away, because the man's obligated to be intimate with his wife. It's his obligation towards her, so she can stop him from leaving or from going, from working in a faraway place. And also, if a woman wants to, if a man wants to change positions, change jobs, and the job that he's going to be involved in is going to lead him to a job where he's less obligated to be with his wife, so in that situation, a woman can also stop her husband from changing jobs. Gigon, chamar shabikesh lasos gamal or gamal lasos malach. So let's say a donkey driver wants to turn into a camel driver, or a camel driver into a sailor. So all those situations are where the man loses his frequency, his obligation to his wife in frequency. A woman can stop her husband from doing that. V'tamidei chachamim yotzin l'talmud Torah shelo b'rishus nishosein shtayim b'shalosh shanim. But a Talmud Chacham can go learn Torah and he can leave his house for 2 to 3 years without seeing his wife. V'chein rach v'anuk shenaseh Talmud Chacham ein ishto yichol la'akev. Also, a guy who's not even working, who has a lot of leisure time, if he wants to go learn, his wife can't stop him. Okay, so the first two halachos and ishus kind of spell out the situation here that we're going to delve into. But the first halacha in Ishos talks about a man's obligation to his wife in terms of intimacy, and it's based on his job and how close he is to his home. But in the second halacha, halacha beis, it says that a woman's allowed to stop her husband from taking on a job that might be more stressful or a job that's further away where he's less obligated in his intimacy towards her. She can say, sorry, like you're obligated towards me and I'm going to stop you from changing jobs or going further away. But a Talmud Chacham, the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, is allowed to leave his home to learn for up to 2 to 3 years. So he can leave his house and not see his wife or his kids for 2 to 3 years. So it's a strange halacha. We're going to try to analyze that a little bit and go into some of the stories in the Gemara that kind of, they're similar to the stories that we saw in the past in previous Shiurim. They're kind of interesting, fascinating stories that you wouldn't think of. So if you look in the Gemara, in source number 2, so the source of the Rambam is the Gemara in Ksubos. And the Gemara in Ksubos is Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. It's source number 2, and it says as follows. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar is the one who holds in the Mishnah that a man's only allowed to leave his home to learn Torah for 30 days without his wife's permission. But any more than that, he's not allowed to leave. He can't just abandon his wife because he's obligated to be intimate with her. He's obligated in Ona, and that demands him, or that requires him to be home. So he can't leave without her permission for more than 30 days, according to Rav Elazar. Aval chachamim omrim, but the chacham say, ha-tamidim yotzim le-tamid Torah beiz ve-gimel shanim shelo bershus. But the chacham say, like the Rambam, who quotes them, that a person can go to learn, he can leave his house and go to yeshiva for up to 2 to 3 years and not see his wife, even if his wife doesn't want him to go. So it's strange halacha. But then it says as follows: Amar Rava, Samchu Rabbanan Ada Rav Ada Bar Ava of the Uvda Ben Avshayu. But many of the rabbis relied on this psak of the Chachamim in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ava, and they forfeited their life as a result of relying on this psak. Look in Rashi, source number 3: Samchu Rabbanan Tamidim Shebedorenu Somchem Al Devara VeYochim Shlo Bershus. So there were a lot of rabbis in that time that left their houses without their wives' permission, and they went to go learn for up to like 2 to 3 years. But unfortunately, or fortunately, their lives were given up because of this. And the Gemara explains the story, the first story that we're going to take up. Giha de Rav Rachumi hava shachiach kame de Rava ben Mechuza. So Rav Rachumi used to go learn by Rava in Mechuza. Hava ragil de hava asi lebese kol male yoma de chipuri. He would only go home once a year. So Rav Rachumi would go to learn, and then he would come home on Erev Yom Kippur every year. But other than that, he wasn't at home. Okay, it says, Yom Echad Mishkach Te Shemaisa. One day he was involved in learning, and he got caught up in the learning, and he stayed, and he continued to learn, and he didn't go home. And Hava Misachya Debisu Hashta Asi Hashta Asi. His wife was nervous. She was waiting for him, and she kept saying, when's he going to be here? Where is he? She wasn't sure where he was. Lo asa, he didn't come. He didn't come back home. Chalash daita, she got very sick. Achis dim asa me'ena, and she started crying, and tears came out of her eyes because she was waiting for her husband to come home, and he didn't come home. Hava yasev be'igra, so he was sitting at that time when that happened. This Rav Rechumi, at the same time, simultaneously, was sitting on the roof of a building, I guess, learning. Ifchis igra mituse v'nach nafshe. At the moment that his wife's tears burst forth, the roof collapsed and he died. So that's the story. So Rav Rechumi was punished for this. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "V'avdi uvda kavase." So many rabbis followed this psak of the Chachamim. They left their homes, shelo bershus, and they stayed learning for a long time. But they sacrificed their lives. They were punished for what they did and they were killed. Misachya tirgum shel mitzapeh. So Misachya means that she was waiting. She was waiting for him to come back, and he never came back, and she started crying. And as a result of that, the Gemara says that the roof collapsed underneath him that he was sitting on, and he was killed. So just summarize the story. The story is that the psak is that Talmud Chacham is allowed to leave his house for up to 2 to 3 years to go learn Torah. But the Gemara says a lot of Chachamim relied on this, and they were punished. And the first story that the Gemara brings down is about Rav Rechumi, who left his home. He would always come home once a year on Erev Yom Kippur, But one year he got so engrossed in learning that he didn't come home, and his wife was waiting for him, and she started crying, and as she cried, he died, because the roof that he was sitting on collapsed. So what's the purpose of this Gemara? What's this Gemara trying to teach us about the concept of leaving for Talmud Torah and the story here that he was punished as a result of that? So look at the Shita Mikubetzes. Let's just get a little more information, and then we'll give an idea of Svara to explain the Gemara, the first point of the shir. Okay, so there's going to be 3 points in the shir. So this is the first point, the first story. So the Shita Mikubetzes go to Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's four lines down. He quotes the Shita Mikubetzes quotes the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah, and it says V'chasvu Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah bePerushan al Halachos v'Zelishona. So they wrote, the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah, in explaining Halachos, said, Tema al Arif. So they asked on the Rif, who is one of the commentaries on the Gemara, he writes down a lot of the Halachos, Lama iniach bilhavi bilchos of Diver of Ada bar Ava. So the Rif left out the Halacha that the Chachamim bring down and the Rambam brings down, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to leave for 2 to 3 years. Vehevi Diver Rabrona, Shiosir Hayaroi, Lifsok Halacha, Kimo Alashon, Tzor of Ada bar Ava. The Rif doesn't bring down the Halacha that a chacham is allowed to leave for 2 to 3 years. And he should have, because the Gemara says, that's halacha. Because you see that the rabbis relied on this psak. So therefore, you see when the Gemara shows you that the rabbis are relying on the psak, they're telling you that that is the halacha. The halacha is that a talmud chacham is allowed to leave for up to 2 to 3 years. V'chein pasak arina Moshe Zal. So umay de maisi the Gemara uvda de Rav Rechumi, the havashchiach. So why does the Gemara bring down the story of Rav Rechumi? Achise demasa me'inaha, that she started crying. Have Yosef igra ifches mituse nach nafshe, that the roof collapsed and he died. Lav lememra delesa l'derav ada bar ava. It's not to teach you that the halacha is not like Rav Ada bar Ava. So really, a talmud chacham is allowed to leave for 2 to 3 years. Ela lashmu inon she'afa pishi yochol alecha shelo beresus. Even though a guy can leave his home without his wife's permission, ad shalosh shanim, up to 3 years, afilu hachi, even so, ein lo le'agna kol kach, he shouldn't torture her so much, like aguna, ki miderach harachmanas yesh lo lahakdim, he should really, because of mercy, he should come back, kidesh lo titzdar yoser midai, so that she's not in so much pain, v'lo ye'anesh b'sibasa, and that you don't get punished because of it, kemosh nena shor rechumi, v'choshekein imroesh yitzro tukvo, and certainly, if a man sees that his yetzer hara, his evil inclination, is getting too strong, too powerful, he needs to be with his wife. Osha margish beishto shehimak pedes beyoser. Or if he senses that his wife doesn't want him to be learning so much, and she really wants him to be home, sheyesh lo lizar, he has to be very careful, kadesh lo tiyeh mitzvah baba avera, so that the mitzvah of learning doesn't come about through an avera of causing his wife harm, or giving in to his evil inclination. Okay, so What's the Gemara trying to teach us here? What's the point of the story here? So I think that the story is trying to teach us that there's two elements here. There's a halachic idea and then there's a philosophical idea. So the halachic idea is that the Gemara seems to say that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah takes precedence over the mitzvah of Ona in this situation, and that's why a man doesn't have to ask for permission, meaning a woman can't stop her husband from learning, because it sounds like from the Gemara, just on a simplistic level, I'm not defining it that on such a deep level, I'm just defining it simplistically. It seems like the Chachamim Paskin, that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to conform his learning to Ona, but rather it takes precedence. That learning takes precedence over Ona, and therefore he can go even without his wife's permission. But the Gemara is saying that there's philosophical issues as well. There's a halachic idea that the mitzvah of learning takes precedence over Ona, but that doesn't mean that the philosophical implications couldn't be disastrous for a guy who chooses this path. So the Gemara is trying to show you that sometimes there's not a convergence between the halachic psak and the philosophical idea. So the halachic psak is simply that a man's allowed to go learn Torah because Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. I guess it takes precedence. It's necessary. It's more important. But philosophically, the Gemara is trying to show you that doesn't necessarily mean that choosing that is necessarily the most appropriate philosophical avenue that a person is supposed to take. Just because halachically it's mutter to him and halachically it takes precedence, it doesn't mean that philosophically that's appropriate. So what is the philosophy here? So I was thinking about this. I was talking to my wife about this, and I was thinking that a lot of times when there's a resistance to learning Torah, especially on the part of a wife to her husband learning Torah, there seems to be a resentment that's created. And a lot of times the resentment is not just towards her husband that's learning, but it's still learning itself, because the learning ends up taking her husband away from her. So I think the Gemara is trying to say that there's a point where the resentment becomes harmful to the woman, and there's a point where it becomes a philosophical problem, because a woman now, her resentment towards her husband becomes so severe that she's crying because she's not home, that that really it's a bizui Torah. It creates a bizui Torah. So on the one hand, he's learning Torah and he's giving kavod to the Torah and he's learning Torah and he's becoming a Talmid Chacham. But on the other hand, the effect of it is a bizui Torah, is a resentment towards Torah. So I think that the idea of the Gemara is that really, when a person does this, when a person chooses to do this, to learn and go away from his home, he has to be aware of the fact that philosophically, even though it's a demonstration of Kavod HaTorah to go learn, you can't be involved in Kavod HaTorah, which leads to Bizui Torah. So by his involvement in Kavod HaTorah in this situation, there is a Bizui Torah. There is a tremendous sadness and dissociation from learning that his wife felt because he didn't come home. And that's why I think the Talmidei Rabbi Yonah say it's a mitzvah above avera, meaning it's true that learning Torah is a great mitzvah, and learning Torah is perfecting yourself and being attached to thoughts and concepts. But on the other hand, it can't, if it's associated or results in a bizui Torah, so then, you know, what's the purpose? Then you're really undermining the whole idea of learning. So that the idea of the Gemara is showing you that on the one hand, halachically, a man's allowed to go learn. It's really in line with the idea that Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. There's a benefit to learning, and it doesn't conflict with ona. Just a man's allowed to go learn for up to 3 years. But philosophically, you have to realize that the effect of learning or not coming home could be more disastrous than the benefit of learning, and that's why Rav Rechumi was punished in this situation. He was punished because he failed to recognize that idea. He failed to give consideration to that idea. So that's the first point in the shir. So the first point in the shir is that although a man is allowed to go learn without permission, he has to be sensitive to the effect that it's having on his wife. And if it's creating a resentment to the point where there's almost a negativity, a sadness there, so a man has to be aware of that, and you have to be careful. You don't want to create a resentment, a bizui Torah, as a result of that. So that's the first idea. There's one other possibility for the first Gemara. I just didn't bring it in. The other possibility is the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Chanukah that Shalom Bayis, he talks about Shalom Bayis being the most important element in Torah. He says he says Derachei Darchei Noam B'chol Nesivoseh Shalom, and he quotes, that's why by Chanukah, by Ner Chanukah, it says that a person's supposed to choose Ner Shabbos over Ner Chanukah because Shalom Bayis always takes precedence. And the Rambam talks about Shalom Bein Ish LeIshto, that Shalom, that peace between a man and his wife, is of utmost importance. So it could be that according to the Rambam, this Gemara is trying to teach us that concept, that although learning from a halachic standpoint is more important, the philosophical concept of Shalom, of recognizing harmony in the world through, you know, harmonious relationships, is really more important, more critical philosophical idea. So that's the other possibility. So two possibilities for the Gemara that we just did, the story. One is that the learning led to or resulted in a bizui Torah, and the other possibility is that Shalom Bayis is a more important, integral philosophical idea, because it leads to a recognition of God more so than just learning itself. So that's the second point. All right, so now let's get to the, what about this halacha about Talmidei Chachamim, and then the last story is even more interesting. It's wacky. So the next Gemara is in source number 5. So it says like this, and I'm just following along in the Gemara, so it's just really, just the Gemara moves forward, and it says, Ona shel Talmidei Chachamim Amos. What is the Talmud Chacham's regular schedule, you know, intimate schedule? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Once a week on Erev Shabbos, on Friday nights. So what's the pasuk? It says, Asher Pirio Yitain Be'ito. They quote a pasuk from Tehillim that it means that his fruits will bring forth his fruits in its season. Amar Rav Yehuda, V'yitain Rav Huna, V'yitain Rav Nachman, Zeh Mishamish B'Tasso, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. So that's an idea of a chacham having bia with his wife, being intimate with his wife once a week on Erev Shabbos. So what is that concept? What's the concept that a chacham, it's one thing that a chacham, the Rambam says that a chacham is tired, so his ona is only once a week. He's like a worker that works in a faraway place. But on the other hand, what's the what concept that that the bia, that the intimacy is on Leil Shabbos? Why is that necessary? So Rashi says in source number 6, Me'erev Shabbos hu Leil Tainog u'shvisa v'hanaskof. So Erev Shabbos is a time of pleasure where a person's restful and it's a time for his physical pleasure. So that's what Erev Shabbos is designated for. So what is that concept? What's a concept that the Gemara is trying to teach us about the idea of Talmud Chacham being with his wife once a week on Erev Shabbos? So then if you look at the Marsha, just one last point and then we'll define this. The Marsha says, Ona shel Talmud Chacham, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Ne'emar asher pirio, Hachi mashmalo mehai kura shalmar, Ki im betoras Hashem cheftzo, v'soroso yege yomam v'layla. So it says that a Chacham desires his law, the law of Hashem, and he learns it day and night. And it says, D'hainu kol yimei achol, all days of the week. Ve'ein eis la'onas layla. There's no time to be with his wife. Kol yimei achol, kevan shetzarech l'hagos b'toro, yomam v'layla. Aval omar, ki b'leil Shabbos, but on Leil Shabbos, she'azatam u'chacham ke'eish shasol. He's like a tree by the water, shehu leil tainug b'shvisa. Kepeirish Rashi, gam ein ba bitul Torah, and there's no bitul Torah on Friday nights. Kol kach, she'asher likros l'or on air, because you don't have any lights, because back then they relied on the Or Shabbos, the Ner Shabbos, and you couldn't read right next to it, because they're worried that you would end up, you know, messing around with the light. The Alkein, oz per yutim ito shuzman ona, shabanim nikru pri benechash schar pri abeten. So that's the time for the Chacham. So what's the idea? Why is the Zman of a Talmud Chacham being with his wife, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos? So I think that the Gemara is trying to show us that a Chacham tries to align his lustful needs and his need for, you know, his sexual desire with philosophical ideas, with a philosophical good. So Erev Shabbos is, there's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. And part of Onik Shabbos is that the pleasure that a person experiences is supposed to be attached to a greater philosophical appreciation of God. So the Chacham, whenever he can, tries to align his lust and tries to align his instinctual drives with a philosophical good. So the idea is that a Talmud Chacham schedules his intimacy with his wife on Erev Shabbos because of the idea that we always want to, or Chacham always wants to align his lusts and ends up elevating his lusts and his instinctual drives with a more pure philosophical point or philosophical idea. And that way, ultimately, a man can be driven towards a higher level of existence. So the Chacham's Zman Ona is only once a week on Erev Shabbos in order to align his instincts with that concept, with the concept of Shabbos. Okay, so there's one other story, one last story, which is the hardest to understand. So the story is as follows. In source number 8, that's another story with a husband and wife. Yehuda brei d'Rav Chia chasne d'Rav Yanai hava, azil v'yasav bei Rav. So Yehuda, the son of Rav Chia, chasne d'Rav Yanai, Azil v'yasub ve'rav. He used to sit with Rav and learn with Rav. V'chol bei shamashi hava asu lebeisei. He would go home every Friday night. V'chi hava asu hava kachazi kamei amudin nura. Whenever Yehuda would go home, or Yehuda would go home, there would be fire, there would be an image of a fire on top of him. Yom echad mishchasei shemasa. One day he got involved in learning. Kevan delochazi ahu simna. So he didn't go home because he was learning and he was too engrossed in his learning. And therefore, there was no sign, there was no symbol of fire on his house or on top of, because he didn't go home. Amar lehu Rav Yanai, so Rav Yanai said about Rav Yehuda, kafu mitaso, he must have died, that's why he's not coming home. So let's do kfias mita, which means to turn the beds over. That was what the avelos, in avelos, that's what they used to do. And that's why we cover the mirrors nowadays. Shel mole Yehuda kayam lo bito onasa. If Yehuda was alive, he wouldn't not come home and be with his wife. So then the Gemara says, "Havai kishgaga shiyotzim lefnei shali." This is like a mistake that left the mouth of the ruler. V'nach nafshe, and he died as a result of this. So the Gemara says that because Rav Yanai said about Rav Yehuda that Rav Yehuda must not be alive, because if he were alive, he would be home on Erev Shabbos. As a result of saying that, he died. So the Gemara is—it's a weird concept. So the Gemara is saying that because. And they quote a pasuk over here, Kishgaga Shiyotzim Fnei Ashalit. It's from Koheles. And the pasuk saying that It's like a, like when a ruler or a king makes a statement that might, even if it's a mistake, it comes true. We end up having, like, let's say the king says, kill this man. Even if it's a mistake, oftentimes you have to kill the guy because the king said it. So even though it's a mistake, Ravyane said it. Ravyane said that Ravyuna must be dead, and let's be knowing of Aelis. And as a result of that, he actually died. Rav Yehuda died. So this is a strange concept. So I want to understand, what is the idea that if somebody says something, if even if it's ominous, even if it's threatening, that somehow it'll come true? Like, we don't believe in that in general in Yehadis. We don't believe that a person gets to predict the future because he says something. If I say, you know, it's almost like an Ein Hara type of thing. If I say that a person, you should drop dead, that doesn't mean that you're going to drop dead. But the Gemara seems to be saying over here that, yeah, no, there is a possibility. So what is that idea? What's that concept? So there's a Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which goes into this idea that your words have power. So the Gemara is source number 11, and this is also a funny story. So Pinchas Achua de Mar Shmuel, Isra Be Milsa. So Pinchas, the brother of Mar Shmuel, had something unpleasant happen to him. A relative of his died. So Pinchas, one of his relatives died, and he was Noeg Avelis. He was an Avel. Al Shmuel lemishal time amine. So Shmuel went up to console him, to ask him what happened. Chazanu letofrei dehave nefishan. So Shmuel saw that Pinchas's fingernails were very long. He didn't cut his fingernails. So Amar le, Shmuel said to Pinchas, Amai lo shakalta lehu. Why didn't you cut your fingernails? Amar le, ibedidei hava. So Pinchas said back to Shmuel, if this happened to you, mi mizal zelos be kulehai, would you treat this so lightly that you would cut your fingernails? Havai kishgaga shi yatsam lifnei ashalit. So the same pasuk is quoted. It's like a mistake that left the mouth of the ruler. The isra be milsa be Shmuel, and Shmuel, what happened to him was that one of his relatives died because of Pinchas. Al Pinchas achua lemishal time amine. So then Pinchas went to ask Shmuel how he was doing and to console him. Shaklinu l'tofrei chavtinu l'ape. He took his fingernails and he stuffed it in Pinchas's face. And he said, Amar le, he said to Pinchas, Leis lach bris krusa l'sfasenu. Do you not know the concept that there's a covenant that was karus, that was a covenant that was completed with our lips? So Amar Rav Yochanan said, Minayin shebris krusa l'sfasayim. How do we know that there's a covenant between man and man's lips and God? Shneamar, as it says, Vayomer Avraham el Ne'arov, Shvulachem po imachamor vani vanar ne'lechad ko v'nishtachavim v'nashuv aleichem. So Avram said to Yishmael, you know, I'm going to go, we're going to come back, and to Eliezer, we're going to come back. V'istaya milsa dehadr travayu. And because Avram said with his lips that we're going to come back, that's what happened. They ended up coming back. Meaning to say that when a chacham says something, it happens, it occurs. So Pinchas, because he said to Shmuel, if something like this happened to you, would you cut your fingernails? Because he said that, the Gemara is implying that that's why Shmuel's relative died and Shmuel was in the same situation. So what kind of system of Schar Va'onish is it that Shmuel's relative should die because Pinchas made a statement like that? Because Pinchas said, oh, if this would happen to you, so, you know, if this would happen to you, then what would you do? Would you really cut your fingernails? So we don't believe that a statement itself could be responsible for somebody's death. Same thing with Avraham. By Avraham, it wasn't the fact that he said we're going to come back, that's why they came back. No, it's because Hashem really wasn't intending to kill Yitzchak. And as a result of that, Avraham ended up coming back. It has nothing to do with the statement of Avraham. So what's the Gemara even talking about, that when a person makes a statement, when a Chacham makes a statement, that it comes true? You know, we don't believe in that. It's not true. It's not just either. So how do we understand that Gemara? This Gemara, Moed Katan. Okay, so that's the question. So let's just do one more source, and then we'll give an idea for this. The two more sources. So the Marsha quotes the Tosfos in source number 13. He says, "V'chasva Tosfos tema delama dilma midatova maruba." Maybe the reason why Avraham came back wasn't because of what he said, but it's because the good is better than the bad, meaning when God repays man and when he demonstrates a good quality, good characteristic, so it's better than the bad. The Gemara should have quoted this idea that a man's not supposed to open his mouth to the satan, meaning you're not supposed to reveal anything negative about yourself and open yourself up to a flaw. Shenamar, as it says, ad kan lashono. So Tosfos asked that question. Why? Maybe Avraham didn't come back because of what he said, but rather it's because of the good, that it was a good thing that he should come back, and God was rewarding him. So he says, Vanir li yashiv azeh, dahi dal yiftach piv lasatan, arik sha'omer kalos atzma ba'osa pranios. Al yiftach piv lasatan, don't open your mouth to the satan, is when you're included in the bad thing. You don't want to open up an avenue for you to be punished because you're exposing a flaw about yourself. So a person's not supposed to reveal something negative or say something negative about himself because he might expose a flaw that he has and be punished. But in this case, when a person accidentally says something bad or negative, like in the case of Pinchas, where he said to Shmuel, if something happened to you, would you cut your fingernails? Or like in the case of Rav Yanai in Ksubos, where he said that Rav Yehuda must be dead. In that case, O betovas zulaso, or in the good, it's outside of himself. He's talking about somebody else. Kedemuchach inin Pinchas to Shmuel. So the idea is that it's as if they're prophesizing and they don't know what they're prophesizing about. Ukperish Rashi, the Chumash, Rashi says this by in the Chumash, Nashuva Nisnabe Shiashuvu Shneim, that Avram was Nisnabe, that they were going to come back afterwards. Ad Kan Lashona. So the Marsha says that when a Chacham makes a statement, he has to recognize that there's an idea or an element of Nevuah in his statement. But what is that? What does that mean? What is that concept? What is the concept that there's nevuah in the Chacham statement? And one last point before we explain it. In source number 14, the Torah Tmima says, Kishkaga shiyotzum efnei ha-shalit ze Yaakov avinu. Sha'amar le-Lavan, im asher timtsa es elokecha lo yichya. When Lavan was looking for his terafim, for his idols, Yaakov said, whoever you find it with shouldn't live. V'chein havi demesa Rachel. And Rachel died because of this. Meaning, that when Yaakov made the statement, part of the reason why Rachel died was because of the statement of Yaakov. And Davar Acher, Ze Eli Akoin Shamar L'Shmuel, Kishim She'en B'ni Yorshin Mekomi, Kach Ein Banecha Yorshin Mekomecha V'chein Havi. And Eli said to Shmuel, your sons aren't going to inherit your position, and that's what happened. So the Gemara and the Torah Tmima, they seem to all be pointing to the same idea, that when a Chacham says something about somebody else, if you say, oh, he's probably dead, that somehow that'll lead to the person actually dying. So the Gemara seems to imply that the Chacham's words have power. So what kind of idea is that? What's that idea, the concept, that if a Chacham makes a statement like that, if a Chacham says he should drop dead, that all of a sudden the person's going to drop dead? How does that make sense within our system of Tzchar V'Onesh and our system of Torah? So the last concept in the Shir, I think, is that the Gemara is exposing a unique idea about a Chacham, that a Chacham and a Talmud Chacham on a high level is representative of Torah and representative of God. So as such, whenever a Chacham makes a statement, it sounds like the Gemara is saying that there's a Hashgacha, there's an intervention on the part of God to validate the statement of the Chacham. It doesn't mean that that's the only reason why the person died. Meaning, by Rav Yanai, when Rav Yanai said that Rav Yehuda must be dead, it's not that Rav Yehuda died because Rav Yanai said he must be dead, but the idea that the Gemara is exposing is that when a Chacham says something, there is a Hashgacha, there is an idea of validating the statement of the Chacham, because the Chacham is reflects the Torah and reflects God. So the Chacham, if he says a lie, it reflects poorly on him, but not just on him, but also on the Torah and God. So anytime a Chacham speaks, there's an idea that he has to be aware of the fact that his speech and his ideas and his thoughts that are transmitted through his speech have to be clear, because they're reflective not only on him, but of the Torah and of God. So there's Hashgacha, it seems like there's an intervention on the part of God to validate the words of Chazal, to validate the words of the Chacham. So when Avraham left and he said, you know, we're going to be back here, we're going to come back, it's not that that's the reason why they came back. There's a lot of reasons why. It's because God decided that Yitzchak should live and that this whole thing was a test, and Nisayon. But the concept is that aside from that, there's also a separate Hashgacha operating. There's a separate intervention, divine intervention operating, to validate the words of Chazal, in order that they not look like liars, they not appear like liars. Because if they appear like liars, if they look like they're not telling the truth, it creates a negative perception not only of them but also of the Torah, and because they're representatives of Torah. So the Gemara is trying to show you this concept that it's not, I think it's saying it's not the sole reason why somebody would die, but there is an idea of a hashgacha. There is an idea of God intervening to validate the statements of Chazal in order that they not look foolish or not look like liars. That's the idea of the bris crucibus fasayim, that Chazal have to be aware of, Chachamim have to be aware that when they speak, they represent Torah, they represent God. So their speech has to be very precise because of that fact, because of that idea. Okay, so there's three concepts in the Shir tonight that I wanted to express. The first is the story of Rav Chumi, which is the story of how, on the one hand, he went to go learn Torah in line with the Psak Halacha of the Chachamim, that Talmud Torah is halachically more important, or it's more, a person's allowed to do that. But philosophically, it led to a bizoy Torah, because his wife was so upset that he didn't come home, that she, it wasn't just a resentment at that point, it wasn't that she was resisting him leaving, so she was saddened by it, and it created a bizoy Torah. So I think that's what the Gemara is trying to show you, that on the one hand, halachically, it might have been mutter, but philosophically, a tremendous negative resulted. The other possibility was the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that Shalom Bayis is an integral idea philosophically, and therefore takes precedence over any type of learning, the existence of harmony in the house. The second point was the idea of the Onas Talmid Chacham. The Ona of the Talmud Chacham is on Friday nights. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham tries to align his instincts and his instinctual drives and his pleasure with a philosophical good. And on Shabbos, the idea of Oneg is not just pleasure for pleasure's sake, but it's pleasure as attached to recognizing and appreciating God as the Borei Olam, as the Creator. And the last idea is this story over here, a couple stories about how when a Chacham says something, so it could come true in reality, but the idea is not that the Chacham's words have power and the Chacham's words create the death of somebody else, but what it means is that a Chacham's words have to be guarded, because when a Chacham speaks, he's reflective of Torah and of God, and therefore there seems to be a hashgacha, there seems to be a divine intervention in order to validate the words of the Chachamim because of the fact that they're representative of Torah and God. So a Chacham, the purpose of the Gemaras in Moed Katan and Ksubo start to teach us that a Chacham has to be aware of this, and when he's speaking, he has to be aware of the fact that his speech doesn't just reflect on him, but it has deeper implications, further implications, because he's a representative of Torah and also of Hashem. So that's the end of the Shir. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, have a good Shabbos. Thank you.